Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. It's a numbers game. Un partido de números for those listening in Spanish. What's happening?
Just blessed to be on the air on a day like this, Gil Alexander.
Yeah, man. It is a blessing.
It really is.
We get to talk best about job some in the world. Stuff. And by stuff, you know what word I really wanted to use. Sia Najad will join us later, talk PGA Championship. It is a golf major this week. Drew Dinsick will join us hour number two to talk Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown, tennis. VSiN subscribers, we're looking good so far this morning with our two tennis plays at VSiN.com/picks. Sadly, no new tennis plays this morning. But Drew will talk Preakness, tennis, and NBA with us. Jay Kahn on the NHL playoffs. Mark Borchardt on baseball. We'll do all of that. But we begin with the NBA. There's two separate NBA topics we must discuss. We will save the draft lottery talk for the next segment.
Okay? Fine. Let's I can wait that. 10 minutes.
Let's do that. Because I obviously we have a lot to say about that. As far as the actual games themselves last night, well, the one game was not like the other. Let's put it this way. Let's put it that way. Let's start with the easier one first. Minnesota takes a 3-1 lead on the Golden State Warriors. They did so in game two last night with a 117-110 victory in a game that was not nearly as close as the final score suggests. Although the only point of the game you really need to know about it was 68-68. T-Wolves went on a 17-0 run to go up 85-68. Ant had 16 already in the third quarter by that point when it happened. T-Wolves cruised home from there, leading by as many as 21. If you were on the spread in this, though, I just want to point this out because I know my little buddy Kelly Bidlin was on the T-Wolves minus the points here last night. But in case you missed this, the only thing that was noteworthy from a gambling perspective was that Minnesota led by 16. Remember, the close was 4.5 here. Minnesota led by 16 with under 2 minutes to play.
Yeah, thought they were going to do a two-minute game.
I mean, it's easy peasy. What could go wrong, right? Then, by the way, they led by 14 with 1 minute and 15 seconds left. Even more, it's ridiculous. Good cruise home, right? The spread. They could cover easily. Then a Warriors bucket, a steal, and a bucket again. But then Minnesota went up 12 with 30 seconds left. So still even after that bucket, steal, bucket, they're still up 12 with 30 seconds left. Remember, the spread is 4.5.
Draymond Green's got it covered.
Then the Warriors get two free throws. And then I can't remember the exact details of both of these plays because I was so mad about what happened in the San Diego Padres game. That's for later. That I can't remember how the T-Wolves turned the ball over on these. But Nickeil Alexander-Walker just kind of went out of bounds with something. So the Warriors got the ball back. Remember, they're down 10 now. Santos hits a three. Then DiVincenzo just kind of throws the ball out of the back, you know, the baseline, the Warriors baseline. So the Warriors end up with the ball with seconds left, down 7 in a game. Remember that they were down 12 with 30 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And then Quentin Post shoots a 36-footer that came about as close as I could come shooting it from here. But the point being, that had to have your heart beating a little faster. That would have been most ridiculous cover maybe of the season.
I mean, honestly, Gil, like I was so wrapped up in golf yesterday. I didn't really talk to a ton of people about NBA heading into those games yesterday outside of our show yesterday. So I was surprised when this got down to 4.5 and I added on a little bit more. So I know I talked about yesterday, it being a smaller bet for me at 5. I couldn't believe the money went, you know, and the spread went that way. So I did add on a little bit at 4.5. And yes, you are absolutely right. Especially after the last game.
Yeah
it was a little clenching was going on down the stretch there.
Clenching.
A little clenching.
A sphincter tightening, ladies and gentlemen, I believe is a medical term. By the way, game 5 back in Minnesota, where the T-Wolves can close out the Warriors. The T-Wolves are favored by 11. Steph says, in response to something Draymond said, he said, even if I were Superman, I couldn't play in this game. So, I mean, it's tough. Even if you had a Warriors futures ticket like I did for the Western Conference, there's really nothing you could say. Steph got hurt, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, we weren't ruling them out yet, but you had to take one of these games at home to go home and lose both of them. It's
and as I said yesterday, I thought game 3 was the one they had a chance to steal and they didn't. Kind of when they didn't do that, you sort of knew. The other game last night, though, oh boy, Knicks beat the Celtics to take a 3-1 lead in that best of seven series. The Eastern Conference, remember all regular season, it was a fait accompli, according to everybody. It's French, by the way, Kelly, that the Cavaliers and Celtics would play in the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, right now, the Knicks and the Pacers are both on the doorstep. Knicks win at 121-113. Boston led by 14 points, 72-58. But a 30-13 Knicks run to close out the quarter, the third quarter, gave the Knicks an 88-85 lead. That was their first lead since they led 28-27. Brunson had scored or assisted on 25 of the Knicks' 37 third quarter points. Fourth quarter, the Knicks got a lead to 5 early, but the Celtics actually retook the lead at 99-98 with 7:17 left in the game on a Tatum 3, but the Knicks took it right back with an 18-5 run to go up 116-104 with 2:25 left, and it was Katie bar the door. The problem at the end of that run, of course, not only was that the biggest lead of the series, but Jason Tatum goes down, non-contact injury, and as a qualified Achilles doctor, I could tell you that's what it is. He'll get an MRI. He'll get an MRI today that will confirm that. But it looks like not only do the Knicks win this game, take the 3-1 lead in the series, not only do they overcome Tatum's 42 points, 8 boards, and 4 steals in defeat, but it looks like now the Celtics will be without Jason Tatum for the rest of this series, whatever postseason remains, whether that's one game or many games. And if I am to give you the timeline on such a thing, next year's playoffs will be the earliest that he would come back.
Yeah, brutal. He was absolutely awesome last night, finally, when everybody was yelling that they needed Tatum to have big games, and showed up and played awesome throughout the entirety of that game, both sides of the ball. And yeah, that was tough to watch, especially when you're, like, I don't want to say, obviously we've seen some crazier comebacks in this NBA playoffs, but man, the game was already feeling kind of done at that point, and if the game's done, then it's 3-1, and the series is likely done. It's just...
Unlike the Warriors, though, the Celtics are a 5-point favorite in Game 5 at home. Remember, the Celtics do have home court, so the Celtics, unlike the Warriors, right, the Celtics have Games 5 and 7 potentially at home. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I mean, don't put the nail in the coffin quite yet, but you get the idea. By the way, the thing that was the weirdest about this, have you noticed that these networks and nobody, you know, the networks, the coaches describing it, Joe Mazzulla in this case, no one will use the phrase Achilles rupture. No one will dare say the word Achilles. It's as if, and I hate this comparison, but the only thing I can relate it to is when folks had HIV or AIDS in the 80s, there was this hush-hush thing where you didn't want to say it out loud. It was a very whisper-whisper thing. There was a stigma attached to it. It was a horrible time. This is the weirdest thing with these Achilles injury, a lower leg injury. No one wants to go out on a limb and say it's an Achilles injury. So what if you're wrong? It's probably what it is. And trust me, it is. It's just the weirdest thing, the hush-hush with not saying that word. Very odd. Anyway, again, Boston's a 5-point favorite tomorrow night. So unlike the T-Wolves and the Warriors, this hardly is a done deal based on what the market price is. But the Knicks, obviously, in the driver's seat. They will get a Game 6, of course, at Madison Square Garden if it's needed. Tonight, Kelly, Cavaliers 7.5-point favorites as they try to stave off a closeout against the Pacers. Pacers game 5 up 3-1 in Cleveland tonight. And then Denver and OKC, the only series here in the conference semifinals, East or West, that isn't 3-1. That is a 2-2 series. The Thunder are a 10.5-point favorite tonight in OKC. Any play on either of these two tonight?
I bet the Pacers money line. We talked about the series price yesterday. I feel like it's a little light still with them up 3-1. I think I'm just going to bet this since they're going to be the dog in every game that's left. I'll just take the money line price. And I'm just going to kind of martingale my way down the stretch, I think, with this kill. I got plus 270 yesterday. Look, I think the Cavs could easily come back and win this game. We have no idea what's going on with Donovan Mitchell. Look, I think that there is, you could be correct in saying that there's serious concern over something that you saw with him, or I think there's a chance that they were down 41 points, and it was a little convenient for him to come out at that time when he came out. So I don't know what we're going to see with the Cavaliers injury report, though, but this Pacers team has proved to be good. I expect them to close this series out at some point. Maybe it's not tonight, but you're going to hang this type of number up there. I will bet them on the money line here tonight and hope they take it down tonight. Otherwise, we'll be back in game six.
NBA VSiN Killer Sports Challenge. Right now, current standings. Again, this is a invite-only handicapping contest. 15 handicappers. Carl Sack was doing the inviting on this. It was his brainchild. Grand prize is $3,000 for first prize, that is, $3,000. Steve Fezzik, who has pledged his winnings to the staff here at Circa. Steve Fezzik in first place at 19-9. Remember, we can only do pre-flop, ATS, or totals. Those are the only things you can bet. No other derivative markets. Steve Fezzik, 19-9. Zach Cohen now, sole possession of second place, two games back at 17-11.
There you go, Zach.
He also with two games left to play here in this second round. Doug Kazarian in third at 16-11. And Kalei Beidelan tied with Alex Christensen in fourth at 14-12-1.
Well, I see you right behind us, though, Gil Alexander.
I never mentioned me because I just want to show up at the end and people are like, where were you the whole time?
Weren't you 500 yesterday? Or was this your record yesterday? Did you not play anything?
Yeah, no, I played the Knicks yesterday.
Oh, you played the Knicks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I might be right behind Killian and Alex. But the point being that Steve Fezzik right now is the leader in the clubhouse, and can anyone catch him here with 10 games to play?
Biggest development after those games last night for this contest was me thinking, oh boy, I've got plays to make. Like, I have second round plays to make here that I need to get in.
The person we need to remind that of is Drew Dinsick, who will join us later.
Oh, we'll do that.
He's got four left to play here in the second round. Better get on it. And right now, he's got two that he's already made, we can see, so he is on it. All right, we'll come back. Draft lottery, conspiracy or not, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly Bidley.
Yo, what's up?
You want to bet smarter?
Yeah, of course.
Start with smarter insights. Stupid. Right now, you can check out Greg Peterson's MLB picks, Steve Mackinnon's MLB bullpen systems update, and Aaron Moore's college baseball futures analysis.
All right.
Not supposed to use the word
that's pretty good.
Stupid anymore, by the way. Not supposed to do that.
Really?
Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA best bets, Wes Reynolds' PGA championship preview, Jonathan Davis's best picks and props for the NHL playoffs, and Dan Karpuk, am I pronouncing that correctly? Dan Karpuk's NBA props. Right now, you can sign up for our annual subscription, get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Dan, my apologies if I did not pronounce that correctly. Skill Alexander, by the way, the tennis picks this morning for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks, we had Lorenzo Musetti minus a set and a half, meaning to win in straight sets, in other words, against Daniil Medvedev. He is up a set and up a break, up 7-5-3-1. So bring it home, Lorenzo Musetti, at the Italian Open in Rome.
I feel like you've bet Lorenzo a few times this year.
Yeah. The other one is we have the adorable one, Jasmine Paolini, the Italian, at minus two games against Diana Schneider. This is, the most roller coaster of a match. Paolini was up 4-love in the first set. Then she forgot how to play tennis temporarily. She loses the first set in a tiebreaker, 7-6. Then she's down 4-1 in the second set. She's down 7-6, 4-1. You're like, well, this is a loser. She remembers how to play tennis again. She rattles off the next five games. She wins the second set 6-4, and now we are on serve in the third. So again, if she wins, it will either be a push or a win on her bet. If she loses, we lose the bet. So we'll see. We'll see on that. The NBA draft lottery. So this was last night. It was really about the changes in fortunes of franchises was really the overall theme of the NBA. The Celtics losing Jason Tatum. We'll find out what the results of the MRI are today. But again, you know what I think it is. That's catastrophic, and that's out for a long period of time. That's about a year. Horrible thing for anybody. You don't want to see that for any team, let alone one of the NBA's greats. Obviously, the NBA playoffs have been already marred here in the conference semis by injuries left and right. But that's the most catastrophic of all of them. So changes of franchise fortunes to the positive, though, happen in the NBA draft lottery. That is, if you're the Dallas Mavericks. As we discussed at length yesterday, they're fixed odds on which team will come up with the number one pick in the draft. The Jazz, Wizards, and Hornets were the worst three teams in the NBA. They each had a 14% chance to get the number one pick based on the fact that they each would have 140 different combinations of the 1,000 ping pong ball combinations that existed, four numbers across. A team like the Dallas Mavericks, by contrast, only had a 1.8% chance of getting the number one pick. You know what that means, Kelly Bidley? 18 combinations out of 1,000 belong to them. And guess what? Bingo, bango, they've got the number one pick. And the Mavericks get the number one pick. The Spurs get the second pick. The Sixers get the third. And those three worst teams, they all got knocked out of the top three. Hornets, Jazz, Wizards, 4, 5, 6. And if you are a fan of one of those franchises, you're just like, well, this is terrible. Hey, that's why they changed the lottery, right?
Exactly
right,
Gil.
That's why they changed the lottery.
There's a lot of commentary this morning about the lottery. Yeah. There's so many different places we could go with this and start with this. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I'm not saying this is perfect. I don't know about you. I don't really think that this is ever going to be perfect with the NBA draft. It's very tough with how long the season is, with having a lottery, with how you should set up how the NBA draft order works. But, oh, man, there is not a part of me that feels bad for the Washington Wizards who were tanking from day one of this season, or the how many garbage injury reports I had to read about Lauri Markkanen from January 1st on. Gil, that guy had... Yeah. I feel so bad. He must have had 17 different injuries on his body. I feel so bad for Lowry.
You know how I know you're being serious? Because your eyes were closed for about 10 seconds straight talking about that. You're like, oh my God.
Of all the parts we want to talk about and complain about with this process, I will not feel bad for those trash teams at all.
Kevin Durant tweeting, tanking must be really stressful on organization. Kevin Durant, he of manipulating his entire career, making shady comments about other manipulation. Or attempted manipulations. LeBron had laughing emojis throughout as well.
It's just comical.
Here's the thing. Let's talk about this a couple ways. One, how did we get here with the Mavs getting the number one pick? Okay, let's just buy the book what actually happened. The Mavericks went 7-14 down the stretch after Kyrie blew out his ACL. They went 7-14. By the way, AD had injuries as well. But they went 7-14 down the stretch to end up 39-43 after Kyrie's injury. The Bulls, by contrast, the Chicago Bulls, they won 6 of their last 7.
Yeah, thanks, Josh Giddey.
They won 6 of their last 7. Remember the Giddey half-court jumper?
It was a month of Giddey.
Yeah, it was a month of Giddey. But the one that sticks out is the one beyond half-court that he sunk. The Bulls won 6 of their last 7. To finish 39-43 in the Eastern Conference. By the way, the Bulls were never in jeopardy of getting knocked out of the play-in. They were legitimately playing for seeding in doing that. There was no point to it. They just did it. So anyway, 39-43, the Mavericks and Bulls flipped a coin. They flipped a coin, which came up Mavericks. So the Mavericks ended up with the 11th slot, and the Bulls ended up with the 12th. What does that mean? That means of the ping pong ball combinations, the Mavericks ended up with 18 of them, and the Bulls ended up with 17 of them. So had that coin gone the other way, the Bulls would have gotten the number one pick per what we are being told by the NBA. If you are to believe the details of that, that's what happened. Mm. A coin flip took this away from the Chicago Bulls, who had the audacity to go 6 of 7 down the stretch.
Or they could have just lost one more game. Chicago,
that's my point.
They haven't figured out this whole tanking or winning thing, Gil.
I'm just pointing out to you how it went down. If you believe that all this is legit, these are all the things that happened to make it happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's what happened. And now you have a situation, by the way, there's implications, right? Dallas, number one pick. Oh, my God, Cooper Flagg is the prize. Hey, San Antonio has the number two pick. Maybe they package the second pick in the draft and the 14th, which they got by way of Atlanta and the DeJounte Murray trade. Maybe they package that with Stephon Castle to trade for Giannis. I mean, who knows? Maybe Dallas wants Giannis at number one. Maybe OKC wants Giannis, regardless of what happens in this postseason. Anyway, San Antonio purchased a lot of people betting San Antonio to win the title next year in anticipation of that potential trade. 2 firsts and Stephon Castle? Oh, my God. So there's all that, right? But then there's the conspiracy theory part, which is, okay, Will Hill, Chris Velika, and I have a text exchange that we have. This predated our one with Fezzik and Wishnev. So we still have a sidebar one. I don't know if Fezzik and Wishnev know that. Oh, anyway, boy. Will Hill asked us, okay, we're all reasonable people here. In your heart of hearts, do you believe that this is fixed? Do you believe this is rigged? Do you believe this is a conspiracy? Felica immediately chimed in. He goes, no, in my heart of hearts, I do not believe it is. Will said 55-45 rigged. 55-45 rigged. I, Gil Alexander, I said, I hate when people go to the rigged thing for anything. I hate it. Okay. I hate when people go to that. However, I added the phrase on this one, I allow for the possibility. And the reason I allow for the possibility is twofold. One, I said it yesterday on the show. We don't get to see the actual draft lottery. I know they bill it as the draft lottery, but it's not the draft lottery. We see the results, the reveal of the draft lottery. The lottery, quote unquote, actually happens in a back room with Ernst & Young accountants, supposedly, right? Where they go through the ping pong ball combinations. Oh, look what came up. And then they assign that pick to that team based on what ping pong ball combinations come up. And of course, the other one is the history of this, as we talked about yesterday a little bit. Ewing to the Knicks in 1985. The David Stern envelope conspiracy. Derrick Rose, Chicago native. Hey, what do you know? The Bulls got the first pick. LeBron to Cleveland, perhaps the most famous of them all. Chris Paul and AD get traded from the Pelicans. Hey, what do you know? The Pelicans get the number one pick with Zion. And then, of course, this latest one, which is connecting the dots. Luka to the Lakers. But we'll hook you up with the number one pick. My buddy Ray texted me yesterday. He goes, Gil. They made a trade white Jesus for white Jesus. That's what he said to me. That's Ray's opinion. So I'm just saying, with that history, I get it, man. You cannot with 100% certainty. I will allow for this comment. You cannot with 100% certainty tell me that it is not absolutely, unequivocally not rigged. You cannot. I'll allow for the possibility.
You can say we don't know.
We don't know.
I'm with you. I'm sorry. I think the rigged stuff's ridiculous, but
generally I do.
But
I can't blanket it.
As a admitted agent of chaos on this show constantly, as long as my money's not involved, the craziest possible result for something like this, I'm a big fan of, and that's really what we got. I think if you're going to go rigged, though, you're going to, what's the top three? It's not just the top one, it's the top three. You have a budding Spurs franchise with Victor Wembanyama. The 76ers get to keep their pick. If they had not been outside of the top six, they would have lost their pick. Not only do they keep their pick, they vault up to number three, one of the biggest franchises in the NBA.
And the counter to the rigged is, again, well, did Kyrie get hurt by this rigging too? But the counter to the counter is, it didn't matter if he got rigged, they would have rigged it anyway. It didn't matter if he got injured, they would have rigged it anyway.
Now where's Giannis going? Trade!
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I love that we like talking nothing more than the NBA draft lottery. Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG. That's promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Larry Fresh. Anyone who thought a numbers game would start off with the draft lottery being rigged and not an Achilles injury does not know how this show operates. They might miss NCAA picks in a contest, but not missing an opportunity to talk about Achilles. Shout out to Delicious. There are so many good things in that tweet. One, the shout out to Delicious. Two, he remembers the fact that I forgot to put in an NCAA pick in that contest. And two, well, we had to go with the actual games before the lottery. There's, can't diminish that. We're not sports talk radio. We are sports betting radio, after all. Las Vegas 514, yo. As an avid Washington sports fan, the Washington Wizards has to be the worst of all the major sports teams. They can't even ping pong right. 140 possible combinations. Sheesh. Yeah, man. I would say the cookie crumbles, but I guess in this case, that's how the ball bounces, if you know what I mean. Scott, New York Mets 16, I would love Fezzik's math take on the NBA lottery. Odds to get number one pick and the three worst teams not to be number one of the top three. Well, I think we did a good job of going through the odds to get the number one pick yesterday. Also, he says, Bulls get number one pick if coin lands their way. Can you forecast that? Gives them a better chance by one combo. That's all right, Fez. Yes, you can forecast that. Again, the way that this works is, again, this is there's nothing to project here. The coin flip, yes, it determined who got 18 combinations and who got 17. But the point is that the team with the 11th pick, with the 18, one of the combinations of their 18, regardless of what that team was, ended up with the number one combination.
Right.
So absolutely, it was the coin flip. Now, this is OPS pluses for commies. He said, Tim, he has a picture of Tim Donahue. He says, Tim is here to tell you that this NBA slander cannot stand. And this might be the greatest tweet of all time. Justin D at JD Terp 23. Will Hill starting the exchange with you and Felica. We're all reasonable people here on a thread without Todd and Fez. LOL. It's the best tweet of the morning. That's outstanding. That's a Hall of Famer right there. Well done.
That's pretty good.
We could talk about this thing all day. The Bulls. Let's just start with them again for a second.
Oh, yeah. Let's please start with the Bulls.
Okay. What are you doing? You and I, okay, you go ahead, because you ranted about this off air.
It's just we talk about it all the time. I don't know how many times we say it during an NFL season, during an NBA season. The worst place you can be is stuck right in the middle.
Purgatory.
Purgatory. And for as much crap as I just gave the clearly tanking teams, whatever, they're doing what they're supposed to do. The worst place you can be is right in the middle. And the Bulls have just made... either made moves or not made moves over the past 3 years that every offseason as we go into the season leave me scratching my head wondering, what's the purpose of this team? Just to secure the 9th, 10th seed again like they did the year before? And they keep doing that, Gil.
Well, I pointed out, I hope people didn't gloss over this. They were not going to be knocked out of the play-in. They were just playing for seeding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were fighting desperately to get into the play-in. They were in the Eastern Conference. Once you got past 10, there was this chasm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like it made it even more ridiculous.
I mean, if you're a fan of that franchise, I feel really bad for you, honestly, because I have no idea what their plan is. They have given really no indication of what their plan is over the past few years. I thought they were going to make... I mean, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine moves came way later than they should have. You got Josh Giddey on the team. Great. There's a reason why OKC lost Josh Giddey and got rid of him. He's a player that can work well as long as he's the main focal point, but he can only take you so far. And I think you have to realize that by now. So, Chicago, I don't feel bad for you. You deserve to be exactly where you're at.
You deserve everything that you got. Hold on. And then there's the Dallas Mavericks at number one. There's the whole Nico Harrison thing, right, with trading Luka Doncic to the Lakers. And, of course, everybody, you know, drawing the line again from the conspiracy theory here that this is their, you know, their payback is like, OK, if you trade Luka here, you know, it's Adam Silver. As the conspiracy goes, it's Adam Silver on the phone. Listen, if you trade Luka to the Lakers, one of our wonderful franchises, we will ensure that you get the number one pick in the draft. And then the Dallas Mavericks go ahead. They get the number one pick in the draft. Now, you were saying if Nico Harrison is true to his word, right? Remember when they got AD, it was like defense wins championships.
Yeah. And we've got this 4 or 5 year window that we're set up for.
So a lot of people betting the Spurs, as I mentioned, with the number two pick. Hey, they can trade two number ones this year, the second and the 14th, to the Bucks plus Stephon Castle, the reigning NBA Rookie of the Year. They could trade that to the Bucks, who are in cap purgatory. They've got to trade Giannis. But what you're saying is Dallas, by that logic, ought to make the move if Nico is true to his word.
I'm not saying I would do it, but for all the crap that Nico talked after that Luka trade, then yeah, I would think that he should be picking up the phone. If he really believes what he said, Gil, then yeah, I think you should be picking up the phone. If you really believe you can win in the next few years, well, then there's an MVP sitting in Milwaukee that you have the assets to go grab. And yeah, it really makes that window very realistic for you to win a championship. So
did it make you want to bet the Spurs or anybody? Did it trigger a bet, any of this, for you?
No, not at all. No, because I think we're still... There's too many things that have to happen, right? Like
though you want to get ahead of those things that have
to
happen.
No, you do. But like I think when you're waiting on maybe one thing to happen, fine. But like if you're only going to make a bet like that because you think Giannis is on the trading block, right? And that he's open for discussion. But there's going to be, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, there's going to be a lot of very, very interested teams, and some of them might not be that obvious of who they are. So I don't. There's nothing that I was
running.
This
is relating this to the Orioles and baseball. You know how mad I get it. Like, you know, Rufus and I, again, we grew up both as Orioles fans, and he's like, no, I was like, you got at the trade deadline. It's like, you have a chance to win the World Series. You got to trade your prospects. This is why you have all these prospects. Yeah. OKC is loaded with draft picks, right? And players where they don't have to ruin their core, right? You could argue with the Spurs, Castle's part of the core. With OKC, you don't have that problem. Isn't this the moment for them to use all their assets make a move?
It's why this series right now is so beyond fascinating to
me.
But
does it matter?
I think it does.
Does it matter if they win it or not?
If they win a championship, they're going to say, we've spent years building this team the right way. We've built it in-house. We've drafted well. We've developed well. We're running it back. I don't think they think about it at all.
They could lose this
series like this.
You could be right.
If they lose a series like this, the Denver Nuggets, they look around and say, you know what? We're not strong enough to compete with the best.
Okay, but think how nebulous that is, right? So let's say they get to the NBA Finals. They win it 4-3 versus they lose it 4-3. You're not suggesting to me that one game vagary ought to determine how they handle Giannis trade.
No, I'm talking specifically about this series. I think they'd have to lose this series, and they say, we can't get out of the second round with this group because we're playing a team like Denver where the star power is overwhelming. We need another star in here. Now, the problem is with that one, and I want to circle back to Dallas real quick too, but the problem is with OKC. I'll say it. Is Shea okay taking the Dwayne Wade role and being the second best player on his own team?
Well,
If we're talking Giannis, that's what we're talking about, in my opinion.
It's still Shea's team, though.
Still Shea's team. I mean, LeBron made a big deal about that with it being Wade's team, too, when he got to Miami.
I mean, he is the MVP, right? I mean, it's still his team.
Sure. He's not the best player, though. Just like Dwayne. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is a better player than Shea is in the long run.
Can we still say that this age?
In the long run? Gil, there are a lot of people that would push back on me on that. That's fine. Yeah. I'll take Giannis above Shea, though.
Anyway, I think that's not a... I mean, I would hate for that to be an issue. That would be ridiculous if that's an issue, but I hear what you're saying on that. You may have noticed also I had one parenthetical side to the whole basketball talk, which is I couldn't remember the nature of the Timberwolves turnovers at the end that almost got the Warriors the cover last night because I was so distracted by the San Diego Padres. For those of us who have the San Diego Padres bet, and it is a mess of us because William Hill is stuck for six figures, as is Circa. The Padres absolutely gack a game last night. They were up 5-3 headed into the ninth. They took the 5-3 lead. We hit the run line first five. We were set to win the run line for the full game, up 5-3 after Jackson Merrill led off the eighth with a triple and then got sack flied in, if you will, by Xander Bogaerts. And it's one out, nobody on. And Robert Suarez, the Padres closer, gives up a single. And then he proceeds to walk the next batter. And then he walked the batter after that. And then he walked the batter after that. And at this point, I'm screaming, right? Screaming at the TV. Mike Shildt. I want to get that L in there. Shildt. What are you doing? I don't care that he's your closer. I hate when teams do this. Nope, this is our closer. We're sticking with him. By the way, next batter comes up, Kelly. Fourth batter, walk. Four consecutive walks. It ties up the game at 5. Two batters later with two out. Grand slam. Home run. Angels win 9-5. If your pitcher cannot find the strike zone for a million batters in a row, take him out. I don't care that he's your closer. Oh, boy. That puts the Padres behind the eight ball for May. We'll review those numbers real quick on the other side. And we'll also talk to Jake Hahn on hockey next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet the Preakness Stakes with First Bet and get rewarded. New customers can use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. That's win or lose, you get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit first.com/bet. It's very confusing, Kelly. Use promo code VSiN200 to get started today. That's first.com/bet. That's with the number one on first. Promo code VSIN200. Just to follow up on that Padres loss yesterday. So here's the May most wins standings right now. Padres currently in ninth. And they are two games now below where I think they need to be to win this. I have them 20-6 to win this. Well, now they're two games behind the eight ball, if you will. 6-4 after that horrific loss to the Angels last night.
Sure. As we say, when they miss the short field goal or the extra point, Gil, I'm sure that one won't come back to matter.
Exactly. Cardinals 9-2 and is your leader.
Yeah, good to see the Twins still with only two losses.
We got the win on Paolini on the ladies' side, and then Musetti and Medvedev suspended up 7-5, 5-4, a game away from winning that one in tennis.
I don't even mean to laugh. Gambling's just hilarious. Like, you did Twins first month. They're terrible.
Twins are just waiting.
Yeah.
Let's wait till May 1st. Let's mess with them.
Just posterizing Gil.
Absolutely poster. Completely trolling me. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Paul M. Waiting on the rigged reason for Atlanta winning last year with a 3% chance. Well, doesn't negate the fact that LeBron went to Cleveland, Derrick Rose went to Chicago, Patrick Ewing went to New York, Zion went to New Orleans. Have I run out of them? Anyway. Brian Schaefer. The lottery system is so stupid. Why not have the three worst teams have a lottery for the top three picks, then the next 4 to 10 worst have a lottery for the remaining seven? Oh, and also make it live on TV. Yeah, put that part I agree with. Put the thing that happens in the room, make that live.
Oh, I think everybody agrees on that one.
Who doesn't want to watch ping pong ball combinations come out?
I mean, if we're already watching, like, what's there's so many things about just that broadcast last night, right? But you're like, why is Cooper Flagg even there?
Oh,
God. You know, like, why does he need to be there? So we can catch the terrible reaction he has on his face when the Charlotte Hornets or some terrible franchise get the first pick.
Speaking of the broadcast, Kevin Negandhi screwing up and announcing that Philly lost their pick, didn't know that it was protected in the top six. And then Shams Charania asking Rolando Blackman, the Mavericks representative. He was the number one pick for the Mavericks their second season. I think Kiki Vandeweghe was the first season. What does the honor of getting the first pick mean? The honor?
He's
not good.
Like, this is a very inside media thing.
Yeah.
Shams is a great reporter. ESPN, maybe just don't set him up in places like this where he needs to do on-site emceeing-like interviews.
Oh, and last thing here before we get to Jake. Dave Sherapan, our buddy, sportsbook consigliere. He notes this tweet from Art Cummings. The odds of the top three in the NBA draft being Dallas, San Antonio, and Philadelphia in that order was 0.0114%. So what's that? 1.14% chance. I would have thought it was lower than that, actually.
That's great.
Let's talk some hockey. Let's talk some golf.
Yeah.
Jake Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We always love when Jake chimes in with us. Co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on SiriusXM NHL. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4, J-H-A-H-N number 4. How you doing, Jake?
Doing great, guys. You talk about projected first overall picks being there for the draft lottery and how sometimes it could just be awkward, uncomfortable. I still remember back to Connor McDavid when the Edmonton Oilers won that draft lottery now years ago. Feels like a distant memory, but I remember the reaction. It wasn't great. And everyone's thinking, well, he clearly doesn't want to go to Edmonton. I think his reaction would have been the same regardless. I think the more we've learned about McDavid over the years, not exactly the most excitable guy. So I think you're just going to get that instant reaction. These are kids, and that's a tough spot to put someone like Cooper Flagg in.
You remember when Stevie Francis got drafted by the Vancouver Grizzlies?
Yeah.
He looked like someone killed a family member.
I miss the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Just different. Like, it's different when you don't know who's going to be the number one pick, right? Everybody knows.
Yeah.
And McDavid's a good example, too, right? Like, everybody knows you're the number one pick. So it's just like, okay, let's get his reaction to what this team is.
Jake, thank you for wearing the Padres hat, first of all. Appreciate that. Not unnoticed. I'm sorry. You were going to say?
So I was going to say sorry for the last two losses. You lose to the Rockies on Sunday. I mean, no one's losing to the Rockies right now. And then I don't even know how to explain that. They've been so good at closing out games all year. And then that happens against the Angels. So hope they can go on a run for your May wins here.
Yeah, this is Brian Morian. It says, we can now add Mike Schilt. Get that L in there into the ANG vocabulary, along with Kelly's girl with the tats. Tats with an A. All right, before we give your hockey, PGA Championship, your thoughts, sir, because I know you love to bet golf, too.
I do, and I mean, if you've listened to me before, I mean, me and Kelly chat about it all the time. I'm not a big top of the board guy. I always like to look a little bit deeper. I don't really want to bet guys at 4 or 5 to 1 on the odds board, but as we're entering this PGA Championship, guys, all the top guys are playing so well. I mean, Scheffler just won by 100 in his last start. Rory McIlroy, as we know, finally gets the monkey off his back, plays well at the Masters. He just played well all season, winning at the Masters, winning at the Players, winning at Pebble as well. He's just racking up big wins at elite golf courses. And Bryson as well, playing well on LIV, in the mix at any big tournament. So it's hard to ignore the top of the board. I think out of the three, I'd still lean towards Bryson just because of the price. I think he should be priced close to these guys, which he is. He continues to creep up the board. I do think it's creating a little bit of value in that next range, though. If you're interested in a Justin Thomas, who's obviously won this tournament a couple times, I think Xander Schauffele is a very interesting name to look at if he's found his game. But I can't ignore Ludvig Åberg, whatever we're calling him right now. I can't ignore him at that number, guys. If you would have told me a little while ago if I'd get him close to 30-1 at a tournament like this, I think that sets up great for him. I feel like I'm going to have a few bucks sprinkled on the big Swede this week.
All right, to the NHL, Jake. Let's start with last night's games first. Two series that are now both 3-1. The Caps lose again to Carolina. Like so many Caps teams, this is from a Caps fan's perspective, great regular season, feels like it's just going to end in a fizzle in the postseason. And then the Vegas Golden Knights down 3-1 to the Edmonton Oilers, the aforementioned Edmonton Oilers, where if Riley Smith doesn't put the biscuit in the basket with 0.4 seconds left in game three, it's a sweep perhaps, with that one going to overtime. Do you give the Caps or the Knights any chance in this series? Respectively,
I never like to rule teams out, Gil, especially like 3-1. I know it seems like a mountain to climb, but you know, really, I always look at it as go win two games, and then game seven is its own animal, right? Like just win the next two games, force that seven, and then when you're the team that has to play that game seven up three, and you were up 3-1, I think that pressure is on you fully, right? And you could maybe freewheel a little bit if you're the team that's down 3-1. So I always like to look at it like that, but that's easier said than done. From my perspective, it's tougher to go do that against teams that are playing really well. Carolina's full marks for being up 3-1. I think Edmonton full marks for being up 3-1 as well. You just made the point. This could have easily been a sweep, and I think the Oilers are playing like the Oilers from last year, which is very scary for the Vegas Golden Knights. So I like Edmonton. Connor McDavid playing with looks like full health for the first time all season. I think the Oilers find a way to close that out. The Capitals interest me a little bit only because the number is so huge. I'm seeing them around 12-13-1 to win the series right now. Win a home game in game five. Like you don't have to bet too much to get a little bit of a sweat out of that. If they win five, you know, put a little pressure, find a way to win a road game in Carolina. They do still have the two possible home games if it makes it to seven. So just strictly based on the number, the Capitals have a little bit of interest in me.
Yeah. Both Vegas and Washington both have games 5 and 7 potentially on their home ice. The difference is Vegas, a -125 favorite in game five, Washington, a +147 dog in game five, but okay. Washington on the adjusted series price 12-1. Pretty interesting. Tonight, game four, Winnipeg and Dallas. Dallas up 2-1 as Mikko Rantanen continues to just dominate this postseason. Dallas is a -142 favorite tonight. Do you like the Stars?
I do lean towards the Stars on home ice. I don't see a ton of value in the money line for tonight. And I do think on the flip side, if you like Winnipeg and you want to make a case for the Jets, and the odds aren't crazy. Yeah, the odds makers are giving them at least a decent chance to win this game on the road. I think I would prefer to play that series price you guys have up there, +260 for the Winnipeg Jets. So if you're going to bet the Jets tonight, I think I'd rather take that. They win the game. All of a sudden, you got home ice advantage, and they've been very, very good on home ice all season and into the playoffs. And it does feel like Connor Hellebuyck is slowly finding his game here, guys. He's not in peak Vezina form. He did get the shutout in game two, but he's figuring it out a little bit. Now, it's been more difficult for him on the road. Ottinger, on the other end, has been great for Dallas all playoffs long. I'm going to go with the under tonight. I'm going to go find an under six. You know, to pay a little bit of juice for that under, but it protects you for that 4-2 score. If you get an empty netter late, you end up with the push. So under six for me in Dallas Winnipeg tonight.
Okay, and that's the only hockey game tonight is the Dallas Winnipeg game four under for Jake, under six specifically. Likes the Caps adjusted series price game five in that series, not till the day after tomorrow. And then obviously the adjusted series price you just mentioned on Winnipeg too, he's slightly interested as well. The only other series we didn't mention, along with Vegas and Edmonton game five tomorrow, is game five between the Panthers and the Leafs. That series knotted up at 2-2. We're back in Toronto. The Leafs are a dog though. Which way are you going?
I got to go with Florida here, guys. It feels like they're taking over this series. The Leafs had their chance. They had their chance. They had them down and out in game three, a chance to go up 3-0, and Florida seems to have found their game. So maybe the 2 days off will help Toronto kind of reset, realize they still have home ice advantage. But I don't think there's a ton of value in the money line on Florida, but I do like the Panthers to find a way to win this series.
Man, oh, man. Come on, Toronto. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it as always, man.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too. Drew Denson, next.